Rabosai, first of all, I began a minute ago, Chag Sameach, Mirtz Hashem, by all of you. Seriously, a Chag HaSmicha is a big deal, and Be'ezus Hashem, you'll all get there. And for me, I'm actually really happy to see my Talmidim from the past couple of years. It's something to be proud of, it's something to look forward to, but in order to get there, we have to learn Torah. So, we are middle of Yerideh Yasimin Kuf Tzadi Gimel. We spoke about the dinim of Dam Besulim and how come it's not a chash of Dam Maka. And we pointed out that among Rishonim, there are five answers, but the two basic answers are the answers of the Rosh here in Meseches Nida and the answer of the Rashba. The Rosh is of the opinion that the din of Dan Basulim is because, at least the Sibas HaGezera, the way we explained last time, is because Bialakom Basura. It's because everyone can have Bia, and since Bialakom Basura, consequently, Chazal decided to aser everything. There's so many rules of Dam Besulim in terms of Rasa, Lo Rasa, Bongeres, Naira, Kitana, too many rules, fuzzy math. Therefore, we are machmer in everything because Bila Kol Mesura. The Rashba fundamentally says that the reason why we're machmer in Dam Besulim is because it's not the type of maka that we're makel on. According to the Rashba, you get the impression that being tol of a maka is a big b'di'evet. We really should never be tol of a maka. However, ordinarily we are tol of a maka just because, listen, you're going to allow the woman to always be asura on her husband, right? If you're never tol of a maka, it could be the maka is going to last her a very long time, and she'll be asura on her husband for a very long time. So we're tol of a maka because it's less brera. But this sug maka, this type of maka, kodam basulim, so since it's only a maka fi sha'a, so therefore we are makel on this particular sug maka. We're makel in the sense of, we say that only bayo bi'ilas, therefore this particular sug maka were machmir. Ordinarily, I'm makel on a maka. Because what? You'd say the woman's going to be asur and her husband forever, that's not shayach. But by this particular makkah, which is lafisha, this makkah we are machmir on. Presumably, there's an afkamina between the approach of the Rush and the approach of the Rashba, and that afkamina would be in a case like Reb Moshe discusses in the Chuvas Chelak Aleph Siman Pehei, and the Shevet Halevi discusses in Chelak Hei. The afkamina should be in a case where you use an instrument to remove the hymen. There's a surgical procedure called a hymenectomy. That surgical procedure called a hymenectomy basically is that the hymen is surgically removed. Do you have the din of Dam Besulim after that surgical procedure? Meaning, does she become Tamea the moment the Besulim are removed? So according to Rav Moshe, we're mekel, and other svarim, the Minchas Yitzchak, etc., are nota lahachmir. The pashtus is that this should depend on the machlokas between the Rush and the Rashba. According to the Rush, the din of Dam Besulim is because of Bialakom Asura. So there's a svara that this din should only apply Ayyadei Bia. But if you have a surgical removal of the hymen, so then the pashtus is, this din should not apply, according to Rav Moshe. However, according to the Rashba, that the reason why we are machmir on Dam Besulim is because this is a unusual form of a makkah. This is a makkah which is lafi sha'a. So hasvara nosenes, that even with a hymenectomy, even with the surgical removal of the makkah, we should be machmir. That's the pashtus that should emerge. Now, it happens that there are a few. Hello, Tofia, how are you?
Why aren't the rushes only the feet through and not any kind of...
Russian's Lushan is, since Biya Lakom Masura, right, that's the way the Rush says it, since everyone has Biya, so therefore I'm worried that the Dam will come out, like the Rush says in Ksubis. I'm worried there's going to be a Tipas Dam that came out with it. The Pashtus in the Rush is that it's something like the Sefer Aguda writes, that there's some sort of chash of chimud, ayyadei the biya. There's some concern that because of the, just like we spoke about dam chimud and some kuf tzadi beis, maybe the chimud of biya will cause dam b'shas biya. But the Rush is clear that the din is because biya lakom masura. It's a din in biya. But according to the Rashba, it's not a din in biya. According to the Rashba, it's a din in to din in the sugmata. That, I think, should be a nafkamina in terms of when you have surgical removal of the hymen. Yes, sir.
The Biya Lakom Masura, unless you apply the idea of the Dam Chimud, which I don't think the Rush himself says,
yeah, the Rush
Biya Lakom Masura just means that every girl, when she has Biya for the first time, will have her hymen break. That's what it means. So, and they know surgeries really then. Presumably, the halacha should still remain the same, that if she removes her hymen, it's the same as having Biya Lakom and Biya Lakom Masura, it's all the same thing, no matter how you remove it.
I think you could potentially say that. I'm not saying that that svara is impossible. And some of the machmirim actually say your svara. But I'm inclined that the lashon of the Rush of Biya Lakom Masura is as a din dafka in Biya. I think that's a more reasonable or a more likely reading of the Rush. That's what I'll say. It's a more likely reading of the Rush. But the Pashtus would be that this depends on the Machlokas Rush and Rashba. Now, if you look in that Shuvah Nigros Moshe Mechilek Aleph Simen Pei Hei, Rav Moshe is talking about a case where if the doctors are saying that if they do not have Biya shortly after the hymenectomy, the hymen might close up. So in that case, I would say Hasvara no senes, that even according to the Rashba, I should be makel. The Rashba basically is saying that it's like a one-time deal, or it's a sugmaka that is only going to create a problem once. But in this situation where the doctors are saying that if you don't have Biya after the hymenectomy, it's going to close up, etc. So that could be an ongoing process, and Hasara no senes, that even according to the Rashba, in that case, it should be mutter. Rav Moshe sometimes in his tshuva is like, tries to say lomdis that everyone agrees. Rav Moshe says that he thinks according to everyone, it's a din of dam chimud of sorts, and even the Rashba holds it some sort of din of dam chimud. And therefore, Rav Moshe feels, even according to the Rashba, in a normal situation, you could be makel. The Pashtus is that we don't accept this Sefer Aguda completely. According to the Sefer Aguda, the din of Dam Basulim is not limited to Dam Basulim. Let's say you have a woman who was previously married, and in her Zivug Sheni, the first time they have relations, you have to be choshish for Dam Basulin. The Pashtus, she hasn't been a Basulin in 20 years. What's it to be choshish for? According to the Aguda, that's really a din of Dam Chimur, we could suggest that you should be Machmir in that case. But again, the Sefer Aguda is not accepted lahalacha. I think that that's what emerges. Nonetheless, what we're saying is that at least for the Rush, we accept the Sefer Aguda to a limited extent. So that's the halacha of when you remove the besulim, al yaday the machshi, al yaday the instrument, whether that creates dam besulim. Once the besulim were removed, al yaday the instrument, does the next via create a din of dam besulim? In other words, this woman no longer has a hymen. She had a hymenectomy before the wedding. So does that remove the din of dam besulim at the subsequent vias? And the Pashtus in the poskim in this case is that it does not remove the din. The Pashtus in the poskim is that the din of Dam Basulim no longer applies, that she's going to be Tahira after the first regular Biyah. because she's not a basula. The Maharsha writes in Ksubis Daf Dalet that if a woman is a mukas apes, if a woman had her hymen removed because like a tree fell on her or something like that, in that situation, the dinim of dam basula, of dam basulim, it says the Maharsha no longer apply. The Maharsha is saying that, I didn't hear your question.
Meaning, let's say she's a mukas apes, what would it have by Birishona?
By a mukas apes, by Birishona, so there's no din of dam basulim because there are no basulim. Right? So effectively, what we have is as follows. According to the mainstream shita in Poskim, you can technically avoid the din of dam basulim entirely. You can have a hymenectomy before you get married, right? Right before you get married, let's say. We'll assume that ayidei the hymenectomy, you do not become tamea. And then the bia rishayna does not make you tamea afterwards. So we just came up with a chak to avoid the din of dam basulim. So many, I shouldn't say many, if I'm not mistaken, Blue Greenberg, if you don't even know who she is, Google her. So Blue Greenberg wrote a book 35 years ago where she encourages this practice. She's like, the din of dam basulim is very uncomfortable for the couple at the beginning of marriage. They want to have sex, and dam basulim means that they can't have sex right after. So she encourages having a hymenectomy, and then the subsequent piece will be okay. I do not like this approach because a hymenectomy is surgery, and to encourage anyone to get surgery for any reason is probably not a good idea. If a woman has what is called an impenetrable hymen, her hymen is thick, the doctors assume that you cannot penetrate the hymen at all. So in that case, we go for a hymenectomy. But short of that, in a regular situation, most women, by the time we get married, women are in their 20s, et cetera. They've been physically active. She's been involved in sports. The hymen, like the Gemara says, has already stretched. The hymen is penetrable. And in most situations, we don't recommend, we don't recommend going for hymenectomy, even though it would solve all the halachic issues, because to go for surgery is taka, not a good situation. In Rabbi Forst's Sefer, page 487-488, Rabbi Forst says that we do not encourage a woman to go to the doctor before marriage, because he says that Tosfos at the beginning of Ksuba says that there's hechera in yonim, and bia rishona is also a sakeli, that when the husband has the first bia rishona with his wife, it creates, like, she becomes a keli for him, and that establishes some sort of intimate bond. And therefore, in Alpi Kabbalah, there's some inyan of the husband, Dafka, being the one who pierces the basulin. So therefore, Rabbi Forst, for that Kabbalah reason, says that you should not go to the doctor to have the basulin removed beforehand. Again, ainly asik benistaros, gentlemen. The way I used to say these shirmas, I'm too young to understand Kabbalah. At this point, I just can't understand Kabbalah. Even though I'm taka over 40, I just say, I don't get it. And like for one of these heebie-jeebie reasons to say not to go to the doctor before the wedding, it seems to me that that is not a pashut thing. Rabbi Forst's recommendation, and I saw just before the Shevet HaLevi also has this recommendation, don't go to the doctor because it's a good idea that the husband should be the one to pierce the basulin, etc. I don't think that's a good reason. I just feel that to go for surgery is never a pashut situation, but a woman should be checked before the wedding to make sure that she does not have what is called an impenetrable hymen. If she has that, it should be removed. Rabbi Simon has a Rebbe who is not part of our yeshiva, Rabbi Yitzhak Abadi. Anyone who's spoken to Rabbi Simon, one of my talmidim, a guy, he was actually my a camper in Moresh HaKolo years ago, and then he was a student of Rabbi Simon and used to type up all of his shurim for Rabbi Simon. So then he did a search on his shurim. How many times does Rabbi Simon quote Rabbi Abadi in his shurim? So the answer is like some obscene number, like over the course of the semester, like 180 times, something like that. Like, wow, that's like, it's a massive amount. Rabbi Simon's like a big Talmud of Rabbi Abadi. Rabbi Abadi was the person who was appointed by Rabbi Aaron Cutler as a friend with Rafa to be the Polsik in the Lakewood Yeshiva. And there's politics. So Rabbi Abadi is no longer the official Polsik in the Lakewood Yeshiva, but clearly he is a very significant Polsik. And Rabbi Abadi has kulas. But as one of my friends pointed out, every one of his kulas is to create a chumrah otherwise. So Rabbi Abadi is famous for a kula with silkscreen Sifrei Torah. That you can write a Sefer Torah by just putting a silkscreen. It is basically, you know, how artists sometimes have a cutout of all the letters, and then you could just run over it with like a, you know, the way they paint walls, you have one of those paint rollers. So you can run over with a Dio roller and write a Sefer Torah super quickly. So Rabbi Abadi is makel that this is considered Ksivas Sefer Torah. It's a tremendous kulam. On the other hand, it's a chumrah because you want everyone to be Mekayim in the Mitzvah Semen HaTorah, number 613, to write your own Sefer Torah. So Rabbi Abadi has a kula over here in Simen Lama Gimel Lama Dal Lama Hey of his Sefer Ar Yitzchak. Rabbi Abadi has a kula that the din of dam besulim does not apply if you know for sure the woman had a hymen before she got married. The only time with this din of dam besulim, he argues, is if the woman perhaps did not have a hymen. In that situation, there's some sort of chash that the woman is a raya dam achmas tashmish. If the woman had a hymen, you know for sure it's dam maka. If you know for sure she had a hymen, you know for sure it's dam maka. The whole discussion in the Rishonim that maybe it's dam maka is when you're not sure if she had a hymen. But if you're sure it's she had a hymen, then it's definitely dam maka and there's no real concern. If she did not have a hymen, the real concern, according to Rabbi Abadi, is that she's a roya dam machmas tashmish. And therefore, as a rodam achus tashmish, if it happens three times, she has to separate from her husband, etc. So therefore, Rabbi Abadi has a kula, that the kula, again, involves that she should dafka go to a doctor before the wedding. If the doctor says she definitely had besulim, so in that case, the din of dam besulim does not apply. That's Rabbi Abadi's basic kula. His cheshbin is alts royadam machmas tashmish. Somehow, if you go through the tshuva of Rabbi Abadi, again, I did not do it this morning. If you go through the tshuva of Rabbi Abadi, I believe he does not deal with our stira in the rushes and the Sidrei Tahara's resolution of the stira in the rushes. Dahainu, that there's a concern of Ras Atipas Dam, Kichardo Machmas Chimur Habia, the way we understand the rush. He does not deal with like a Tipas Dam Re'iya. He's dealing with like a din of real Re'iya, and she's a Rayadam Machmas Tashmish. And therefore, Rabbi Abadi is mekel. He's mekel because if you know for sure she had a hymen, so therefore the dam that's coming out is definitely dam maka. And he's not nervous, maybe nisarev in the dam maka, a teeny bit of dam nidos. That issue does not bother him. Hanir lafi in the estate is that that's precisely the pshat in the rush, at least. And I don't understand how one could be mekel just because you went to the doctor before the wedding. My understanding is also that although Rabbi Simon is generally a huge fan of Rabbi Abadi, this particular kula of Rabbi Abadi, Rabbi Simon does not paskin like. My understanding is that this particular kula of Rabbi Abadi is like sivite. It's too far, and therefore even Rabbi Simon does not hold that. Okay. So that is the first din of dam besulim that we want to talk about. The next thing that's worth discussing with respect to dam besulim is the famous psak of the Ramah. The Ramah writes, there are some Rishonim who are mekel im lo ra'as adam, v'nahagu lahakel im lo gamar biya rak heraba v'lo ra'as adam. The Ramah writes that if there's only ha'ara'a, not gemar bia, and she does not see blood, in that case, you should be mekel. If you see blood, for sure you have to be machmir. no matter what. If you don't see blood, we are mafmir if it was gemar bia. But if it is ha'ara and you don't see blood, the Rama paskins, you can be make on that situation. Now, the pashtus in the Rama is that the reason why he's mako is behitz taref, this shita of the raivid, that there is no din of dam besulin if it's lo ra'asa. If you look in the last raivid, in the last raivid in Shar HaPrisha, so the raivid writes, ikamanda amar, that this din the boil be ilas mitzvah poresh, it doesn't matter if you see dam, doesn't matter if you don't see dam, dechayshinon, again, this is a little bit similar to the way we're understanding the rush, dechayshinon, shema im tsa'ar habesulim, also dam hacheder shehu tameh. Right? The lashon of the raivid in this first sheet is that we're worried that together with the tsa'ar of the besulim coming out, maybe some dam hacheder, maybe some uterine blood came out as well. The ikamad amar, there's another shita, says the Ravid. Davka hecha de ba'al umatza dam. Avalo matza dam, enoi tzarech lefresh. If you don't see dam, you don't have to separate. Umistavra lekula. The Ravid writes, there are two opinions. Some say, if lo ra'as adam, you have to separate. Others say, im lo ra'as adam, you do not have to separate. Mistavra lekula. Hasvara Nosenda says the Ravid to be maple. The Hagos Maimani, Perakir Aleph Os Gimel, also quotes the two dinim, but unlike the Ravid who writes Mistavra Lahakel, the Hagos Maimani says Mistavra Lahachmir. No? It's like the same Nusach, but the Hagos Maimani says that you should be Machmir. But there's another line in the another line in the Ravid, Mistavra Lakula, Vehu Debut Gashapir Bebayas Hachitzon Belochaz Yeshemad Mumis. This din is true only if you do a full Bedika. Meaning, the Ravid's Kula of Loras Adam is only if the woman did a Bedika afterwards. Based on this, my friend, now I say my friend, those of you who have been in my shir for Yeruday, for Shabbos, now like I quote the Sefer all the time, the Megillas Sefer. Megillas Sefer is Rabbi Uriel Eisenthal. He's like a, basically I think he's like a Kailo younger man, but he's a superstar. It's like an awesome Sefer. Like every Ha'ara that he makes, I think is, involves really careful reading of the Rishonim. It's like a very good Sefer. So in the Megillas Sefer, page 93, he writes that the kula of the Ravid is only if she did a bedika. That's the lashon of the Ravid. Mistavra lekula, v'hu debat kashapir mebayis hachitzon. Memela, says Rabbi Eisenthal, memela, if the woman does not do a bedika, you don't have the kula of the Ravid. Again, the kula that we're meko, if it's lo ra'as adam, which the Rama is only willing to use with Ha'ara when it's a partial Bia, but the Rama is not willing to say it by complete Bia. But this Kula of the Ravid has to involve a Bedika afterwards. That's what Rav Eisenthal says. Minha Ka'olam is not to be Machmir, that the woman has to do a bedika after the ha'aru'ah if there is no dam. And the reason why this is minhag ha'olam, I think, is because it could be that the pshat in the Rama is not that he's fully chayshish for the ravid, but the Rama is also saying that perhaps ha'aru'ah is not considered gemar bia at all. The Gemara in Yevamos and elsewhere speaks about ha'ara, partial bia. And there's a machlokes in the Gemara, what exactly ha'ara'a is. Does ha'ara'a mean nishika sevarim, just when his penis touches the vagina? Or does ha'ara'a mean hachnasas hatara, when the crown of the penis penetrates? That's machlekes in the Gemara. We paskin that ha'ara'a is considered hachnasas hatara, and we paskin that ha'ara'a is an issue with respect to arayas. That's the way we paskin. What's that noise? Would someone just mind closing the door? Thank you. Oh, you see, that made a little bit better. So it could be that the pshat in the Ramah is not that he's saying, oh, the ravid, and if it's not Ra'as Adam, it's okay, in which case you'd require Badika. But the Ramah is also basing himself on the fact that Hara'a might not be Gemar Bia for purposes of this halacha of Dam Asura. The reason for that is as follows. Many Rishonim say, and Shulchan Aruch sounds this way also, that the din of Dam Basula, that a machmir, even if it's just a tipas dam, even just a tiny bit of blood that comes out, or even if there's no blood that comes out, a machmir, because I'm concerned that maybe there is some dam, and chifahu shechas zera, and it's covered up by the zera, that the sperm somehow covers up that tiny amount of dam. In most cases, the din of chifahu shechas zera should not be relevant by ha'ara'a. Most often, a man will not ejaculate unless there is complete bia. Ha'ara'a, this partial bia, will most likely not lead to ejaculation. So it could be that the pshat in the Ramah is like that. The pshat in the Ramah is that if there's bia gemura, so then I'm chayshesh, that there was a tiny bit of dam, and even if the man says, I didn't ejaculate, the chachmas adam says, we're machmir. Because Chazara goes there, that via Gemura, ordinarily there is Zera that comes out. So therefore, we are machmir that perhaps it's the Fahu Shefas Zera. But by Ha'ara, where ordinarily there is no Zera that comes out. So if there's a lot of dam and a Hanami, it's a problem. But if there's a tiny bit of dam to say, oh, there's a tiny bit of dam, b'chifahu shechas zera, since most often zera does not come out, ayidei ha'ara'a, so therefore we should not be machmir. If this is the pshat in the Ramah, even though the lashon of the Ramah sounds a little bit more like the way the Megillah Sefer says it, but if this is the pshat in the Ramah, I understand why ha'ara'a does not create a problem. So again, halacha l'maisa, we paskin that if there's bia gemura, she's asura. If there's no bia gemura, if it's just hara'a, she's not asura unless there was dam that comes out. Now, this next part of the conversation is going to be a teeny bit graphic. So it goes like this. What exactly is called hara'a versus bia gemura? So we mentioned that the psak halacha is that hara'a is hachnasa satara. Via gemura means that the entire shaft of the penis penetrates, which probably means pelvis against pelvis. That's via gemura. What about the in-between stages? There is space between hachnasa satara and via gemura. What's the din in that case? So the sidrei tahara has a arichos about this in Se'if Katan Gimel. And the Sidrei Tahara concludes that mehachnosas atara ad gemar bia is still considered ha'ara'a. Meaning, the only thing that's gemar bia, the only time she'll be asura, even without blood, is if it's mamish pelvis against pelvis. But, the Sidrei Tahara is only willing to be makel like this if we are talking about a katana or a na'ara, where anyway the Rambam and the Rif say the Dino of Dam Basulam do not apply. The Sidrei Tahara is not willing to be Mekal like his Shita if we are talking about a Bulgaris. The din by a Bulgaris should be, and if you look in some of the classical Svarim, Reb Chaim Kohn, the Badei HaShulchan, they quote a Noid Bihuda and Simon Chof Gimel, that the din by a Bulgaris should be that we are more Machmir. And some say we're Machmir that if Rove Ha'Eder is Nifnas, that she becomes Asura. Both assume that Hachnasas HaTorah alone is Haraha. Once you have Rov HaEver, then she becomes Asura. Now, it's nice in theory. Ain't no one going to ever be able to tell you what is Rov HaEver, what is not Rov HaEver. Especially we're dealing with Achinu B'nai Yisrael, who Baruch Hashem did not have sexual experience before the wedding night in the overall majority of cases. I assume that the guys I'm speaking to in Smitha are actually inexperienced. So to distinguish between Roiv and not Roiv is very hard. Be a Gemura, I understand. You could say if it's pelvis against pelvis that you could feel, though even then, it's quite common to get wedding night shilas. In Rabbi Fort's English language Sefer, the one part that he wrote in Hebrew is he has a small essay about what chasan teacher should teach chasan and what kala teacher should teach kalas regarding this bia rishona, etc. So some poskim say that if there was tsar, if the woman's uncomfortable, so then we assume that it's more likely that the basulin came out, and therefore we're more machmir even if there's slightly more than hachnasa satara. Now, again, the mitzius is, I don't like this, because very many women experience pain during their first sexual encounters for a variety of reasons. Women are nervous before sex the first time. By the way, learning a little secret, guys are also nervous before having sex the first time. It's a little bit scary. And it's very common that the first few times a woman has sex, she's going to experience some sort of pain, discomfort, any word you want to use. And that doesn't necessarily mean because you're piercing the sulam. It just means because it's likely that the area isn't fully open, not because of the basulim, it's just it's tighter. And that causes the discomfort. And to assume that pain is a proof of that basulim, it's very hard to say. So in our yeshiva, we are makel. We're makel that unless you know for sure that there is hachnasas kol ha'ever, so long as there is no dam, we assume the dinim of dam basulim do not come into play. By the way, this is a reason to ask a shayla to a Rav who is a smicha student here in our yeshiva, not to a yoetzet. The yoetzot have more machmir shitos about this. Many rabbonim from other yeshivas have more machmir shitos about this, and those talk about whether there is pain, whether there is not pain, roiv, not roiv. These issues, I think, are very hard to determine. Now, what's our shita based on? So it happens that the Rebbe the Tzemach Tzedek, right, this past Rebbe was named after his great-grandfather, the Rebbe the Tzemach Tzedek. The Tzemach Tzedek is the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. Right? His name was Menachem Mendel Schneerson.
There's a lot of discussion is if she doesn't see blood. I mean,
if she sees blood, all bets are off. She's Tameya. If she doesn't see blood, so then at what point does she become Asura? So in our yeshiva, we paskin only when there is Bia Gemura in the sense of Hachnosas Kol Ha'Ever, not Rubo Kekulai, but Malay Hal Kol Ha'Elam Kulai, Bichvedecha, right? Kulo, Kulo, Kulo. And that shita is found in the Piskei Dinim of the Tzemach Tzedek. And that shita is the way in our yeshiva, it's the way we pass in our yeshiva, like that Piskei Dinim of the Tzemach Tzedek, that you need Hachnosas Kol Ha'Ever. Fine. Next halacha to talk about very briefly. There's a din in the Gemara in Shavuos about if a woman is pierced anida, the emtsabia. If in middle of sex the woman becomes anida, again, this does not come up. So the halacha is that we do not allow the husband to continue to thrust. And not only may the husband not continue to thrust, but the husband has to be no aids tziparin of the karka. He has to like put his fingers into the ground and wait until the kishoy subsides, wait until the erection goes away, and then be poirish be'ever mace. That's the din if a woman is ras adam be'emtza hatashmash. Now, nishalat ha'sheila, what about a woman who has dam besuin? She's becoming a nida, be'emtza hatashmash, because we assume that dam besuin makes a woman a nida. So hasran losenes, that you should have to be noet etzer tziparin of kakarka and wait until yamos ha'ever. That's what you would think if you just have the Gemara there in Shavuos. However, the Gemara Nida says that if this would be the halacha, we would be concerned that the husband would be very nervous about having be a rishona, and maybe he might be poresh from it. So therefore, Chazal say that you're allowed to have a bia gemura. Bia gemura means, according to everyone, that the husband can continue and even give mini kohos. Meaning, so long as they remain connected, that his penis is in the vagina, he can wait, get another erection, have a second ejaculation, etc., etc. That seems to be the halacha. And the way we paskin, the husband can even be poresh be'evrachai. The Gemara in Shavuos tells me that by someone who is ba'al ishto and she's pierced in nida, be'emtza tashmish, you have to wait actually yamos ha'ever, because yitzi'aso hana'alo kibiyaso. Because leaving will create pleasure just like penetration creates pleasure. So that's why ordinarily we assume you have to wait actually yamos ha'ever. The overwhelming majority of Rishonim say that by Dam Basulin, you can be Poresh be'ever chai. That by Dam Basulin, you don't have to wait actually yamos ha'ever. The Ravid is the one dissenting opinion. The Ravid writes, "Hi, bo abigolas mitzvah poresh de kamina lo perish miyadhu dim kein nimta yitziyaso hanaalo kibiyaso elamamtin ad shiyamos uperish miyad min hamita velinotzi parnif mekarka ad shiyamos inotzarech." Meaning, the Ravid says you're allowed to have what's called tamakohos. You could have, so long as you're inside, you can thrust, you can have more kohos, but the Ravid says you're not allowed to leave ad sheyamos ha'eder. This Ravid is not accepted by the poskim. The Ravid is not accepted by the poskim that we assume that you can leave even the kishui ha'eder, because we are saying that we do not assume we are makel. This concern that the Gemara has of that we're worried that maybe the husband won't want to have bia because of these halachos. So therefore, we assume based on that, that even be'ever chai, the husband is allowed to be poyish. This seems to be the halacha.
I think the svara of the Ravid
is that this din of Yitzi Asai Hanolo could be also is a full fledged din.
But the din that you
don't have to be no Yitzi Parnav Bekarka, that's all the Gemara meant. All the Gemara meant that we're nervous that the husband won't want to have bia, that's only that. He doesn't want to just go in and out. But
so that's much like when the Gemara Shuah said that you need to be noise, it's like not really like Mikra,
Yes, correct. Now there's the Gemara in Shavuos and it says Noe Tziparnav, that's just a way to create Yomos HaEver. But if you can, right, create Yomos HaEver without that, etc. By the way, the Baal HaMa'ar over here disagrees with the Ravid. The Baal HaMa'ar writes, Ein lanu davar zeh, ela b'misham yishim ha-tahor, v'amr lo nitmesi, v'rachok zeh mi besula shedameh ha-tahorin. Right, the Baal HaMa'ar says, by Pesula, that's the Meha Tahirin, we do not have this halacha at all. One could argue that in longest pshat in the Ravid is that he's nervous, like he says in the next paragraph, that maybe there is some Dam Cheder that came out. Unlike the Baal HaMa'ar, who seems to say that there is no concern at all for Dam Mida that came out. Let me just see if there's anything else that I wanted to mention. There is a discussion in the post-gim about what happens by Bia Shnia, by Bia Shlishis. Let's say the couple separates after Bia Rishona, and they're separating after Bia Rishona because it was Bia Gemura, but there's no Dam. And then let's say by the second Bia there is Dam. By the third Bia, there is Dam. Now, often a couple will think that they had complete penetration, but they really didn't. By, again, like we mentioned before, by Echeinu B'nai Yisrael, now Baruch Hashem, they don't have experience, and the couple might separate, assuming it's Bia Gemura, but it really is not Bia Gemura. In those cases, L'chor, you have to be Machmir by the first time it's real Bia. But if they really had Bia Gemura, and there is Dam that's found on Bia Shnia, Bia Shlishis, or whatever, do you have to be Machmir in that case? So again, in our yeshiva, we treat Bia Shnia and Bia Shlishis with the kulos of Ksavim. The Tzemach Tzedek in the Piskei Dinim has this also. The case is an unusual case that the husband is very large, the woman is very small. In that case, the Tzemach Tzedek says that Bia Shnia and Shlishis has the kulos of Ksamim. In our yeshivas, we assume that this applies in all cases. And therefore, the first few times you should have, you have Bia, make sure there's nothing white around. But even according to our kula, if the dam ends up on the husband's Aver, she would be Tmeya. So it's a good idea that right after Bia, at least the second, third, at the beginning of marriage, you should shower right away and don't look. This isn't being misalim ayin from an Isser, because we don't know that there is an Isser. But if you don't want to get involved in Shilas, so by Bia Shnia and Shlishis, you should, what's it called? By Bia Shnia and Shlishis, we treat it like the kulos of Ksamim, and therefore have nothing white around you and try not to look. That seems to be the practical halacha, but again, these are areas that couples at the beginning of marriage are often quite nervous about. Rabbanim generally get shilas, or I shouldn't say Rabbanim, kala teachers generally get shilas after the wedding night. Again, Baruch Hashem, like we said, Achim Bnei Yisrael don't have experience, and it's very common, like Rabbi Forst has in that Hebrew language essay, it's very common that there are shilas after the wedding night. Okay, gentlemen, so these are the points I wanted to make about Dam Besulim. We'll talk tomorrow, I hope, about the beginning of Yoledes. My understanding is that some of the guys already began Yoledes, so therefore we can begin discussing Yoledes tomorrow. And I want to wish everybody a Chag Sameach, a good Yontiv, a Freilachin Chag Hasmicha to one and to all, and Mir Tzashem by you.